Okay, everybody, one and all, welcome. Time to begin. So our first session here is really just to give everybody a sense of what Biofuel Nut's about. So this is some of us here have been so embedded in this for so long that we this seems unimaginable that it would be necessary. But at the same time, I have to recognize that many of you are new in the network and trying to get your bearings, and for the students and postdocs especially, this is a new experience, this kind of networking at this level. So we're trying to, in this first panel session, present an overview of where this network situates itself, what it's trying to accomplish in broad strokes. So I'm going to start by giving an intro regarding, again, what we're about. Esteban Charnay here will give us a broader picture in terms of the whole academic industry and how it fits together. Lisa Droulard is here from the NCE. She's really been a most excellent and contact and guidance source for us at the NCE, and so she'll sort of give us a view of how the NCE sees us and what we're supposed to be doing. And then Joran Mammon is really looking after the day-to-day operation of the network and is playing a key role in its functioning and where it's going. And so Joran will give us his thoughts from that perspective. So I'll start. We'll have the opportunity for some questions at the end, but I'll probably will be a chance for questions at the end of each of the talks. So if you'd like to, that's fine. This is from my perspective. Here we are. The first year, we're kind of having our first birthday. We're officially a year old a couple of weeks ago, and so this is our first annual general meeting. And I have to say, it's one of those things. It's hard to believe it's actually happening. It seemed almost impossible at the outset. So here we are, and congratulations to all of us. Okay, this is a bit of a sense of what the network structure is. I don't want to dwell on this too long, but we have. Three themes. Always these things have themes in them, and so they're grouped around sort of thematic areas of research and thinking. We've got these three grouped as a value chain or a process chain, if you like. We start with feedstocks. You got to have biomass to convert. So where is it coming from? And there are a number of places. We have conversion. So what are you going to do to convert it into liquid fuels? There are a number of different mechanisms involved, and a number of considerations that go with each of those. And then utilization. What are we going to do with it once we have it? It's got to go in engines. It's got to perform well. It can't result in illegal levels of emissions, et cetera, et cetera. So there's all of that. And then we have a group called C's. C's being my best acronym for a number of years, right? It stands for social, economic, and environmental sustainability. So we have this business goes on. It's one of those things, you're trying to form acronyms. It's tough, right? You want an acronym you should at least have a vowel in it so you can pronounce it. It's important, right? And if you're lucky, it says something about what you're trying to describe. I spend long times trying to dream up acronyms sometimes, and my wife and daughter mock me mercilessly about this. I had one time where I was trying to think up an acronym for something. Can't remember what it was now, some group we were trying to pull together, and I was at home working in my office there and just, you know, pulling my hair out, and I finally gave up and went to work because they were tormenting me about how silly this whole exercise was. And I got into work, and about a half an hour later, I got an email from them, and it says, "Oh, we thought up a name for you." And they had this thing was the Agricultural Research Center on Yield, something or other. And I looked at it. They said, "This is a great acronym, right?" And I looked at it, and the acronym was acronym. It was pretty witty stuff, right? So anyway, let me press on. So we have this value chain. We have these guys, the C's guys, looking after all of us, making sure that we don't pursue some line of research that, while it looks interesting to academics, is never going to fly environmentally, never going to fly economically, or something like that. So we have those things. We also have a regional tie-in. We have West Platform working on, this is more biochemical conversion, forestry, prairie biochemical conversion, a little more emphasis on sort of ag feedstocks, I guess, algae as well. Central is pyrolysis, more bio-oil focus, municipal solid waste, et cetera. And the East, again, municipal solid waste, so actually East and West and Central both had a variety of feedstocks. Also looking at thermochemical conversion, but a bigger emphasis, I think, on gasification. See, Jean-Michel is sitting there. If I say something wrong, he's going to give me a very, very difficult look. So this is what we're looking at. Our premise is that there's an urgent need to develop sustainable and renewable energy sources that do not compete with food, and minimal harm to the environment. The driving forces behind this, energy prices, greenhouse gases. I don't know if you guys watch this kind of thing, but the greenhouse gas concentration in the atmosphere is just crossing 400 parts per million now. When I started my career, it was 310. It's gone up a lot. Food security as a result is a big issue, both because of energy impacts on food production and because of climate change impacts. So these become very big issues. So we're working at advanced biofuels. So this is, by and large, not food materials. So we want to generate a sustainable source of energy for the long term. We want to reduce greenhouse gas emissions as much as we can. And we want to reduce reliance on food crops through biofuel production. Well, biofuel production with reduced reliance on food crops. This is our sort of, say, central vision. We want to play a role in catalyzing rapid growth of the biofuel sector in Canada by coordinating everybody, by bringing them together, by filling gaps in research, by addressing bottlenecks, et cetera. And we want to coordinate and align our biofuels folks in Canada. And that doesn't just mean the research community. That's also the industrial guys, the government guys, everybody. And I put in here in a general sort of way, an objective would be something like 15 to 25% of Canada's transportation fuels from renewable biomass over the next couple of decades. So this is where we'd like to get to. Am I speaking too fast? I'm always drinking Red Bull and rushing around and... Sorry? Faster. You're going to get this over with, right? Finish it up. Come on. Okay, so the first year, this is the boring stuff we've done in the first year. I guess some of it's kind of boring. It's operationalization. We incorporated. So we're a not-for-profit incorporated company. We staffed. We were very lucky. We got some excellent staff. Hiring in an economic downturn is always a good way to go. Members meeting, we got the meeting together, the 25 university partners involved. We developed bylaws, got them approved. The board was appointed. We have some very interesting people on the board. The head of our board is the head of Hydro-Québec. He has some very interesting perspectives on energy. We have 8 committees that were defined, and we appointed the membership. We had the Research Management Committee, which has met, evaluated the projects, looked at progress. And so we've done all that. We looked at the progress, et cetera, on these things. So the research is now underway. And on top of that, we're looking now at potentially 2 calls for new proposals. The first one we're looking at is driven actually by the site visit committee that we dealt with a little over a year ago. They suggested that we didn't have enough material on feedstocks, and I have to say I agree with that, being a feedstocks person. And so they wanted more emphasis on that, and particularly on sustainable feedstocks production. So this is feedstocks maybe combined with things like life cycle analysis, et cetera. So we're saying maybe 6 new projects here. And then given the way the field has been evolving over the last year and a half or so, there's now intense interest in the aviation biofuels. So perhaps one there coming soon. We're working hard to build collaborations both nationally and internationally. So we look at these things. What we hope to get out of this is input from and influence on other elements of academia, industry, and government. And so I say government, all relevant departments are in. Terry McIntyre, who's here in the room somewhere, I see him, has played a really key role in helping keep us plugged into what's going on in Ottawa. So we're trying to align their priorities with a common set of objectives, and Terry's got us positioned with pretty much all of the key groups. Industry, there has been, I think I'm happy to say, a lot of interest from industry. So we're getting contacted probably at a rate of about 1 a week by new companies. So this has been interesting. Some of the ones over the last while, Agrizoma, Coop Federe, Inocucor, Airbus, it's been interesting, some of the conversations we've had. We're also working internationally, Brazil, China, US, India, EU. We've got MOUs in place now with a couple of these, and we're trying to decide now how to operationalize those. This is one of the things I've tried to do in this area is we're trying to expand our international collaboration. We're trying to get some funds that are dedicated for that. We had a call, it was a very short notice, for applications to CIFAR, which is the Canadian Institute for Advanced Research. I'd never heard of this organization before, but it turns out they'll provide something on the order of $1 million a year for coordinating international aspects of areas of key research interest. So I wrote a 3-page letter of intent, did it in a couple of days and sent it into them. We'll see what happens next. I'm hoping we'll get funding out of them, but it's one of those things where, you know, they make a call, they plan to fund, you know, it goes across the country, they plan to fund two or three. So we'll see what happens. HQP, they're now getting their funding. We already have somewhere around 200, whereas in the initial proposal we projected 212, so we're doing well. We'll probably reach 212 over the next few months. Graduate course and lecture series being developed will offer either in the fall or the coming winter. The HQP training workshop is being given, the first one, being given immediately after this meeting on Saturday. We have 120 HQP signed up for that. Personnel for the theme and platform leaders have HQP that are linked with them and they're mentoring. It's a sort of training in management for HQP. And our HQP committee is in place and meeting and about to issue a report. Here we are at the very end. So next steps, new call for proposals. I mentioned this. More partnership and networking, industry, international, government, other networks that already exist. We keep finding new ones that are relevant. Coordinating these unofficial clusters we see. There's groups in there that aren't structured within any of the networks or themes, but groups like sets of folks working on bioproducts, things like that, algae. We have a very strong relationship with MITAX. We continue to work on this, and we're putting together an international science advisory group that will help give us perspective on how things have been dealt with in other jurisdictions around the world. So that's it for me, and I think I'm just at my 10 minutes, so I won't take any questions right now.